Everybody listen up. Here we're shooting another scene of action frames. Now get to your positions. Lightings?
Ready!
Cameras?
Yeah.
Figurants?
Clear!
Okay, 3, 2, 1, action!
How is everything going, my dear audiences? Action Frames will accompany you in this wonderful Saturday night. I'm your host tonight, Apollo.
And this is Cynic. It's really nice of you to turn on the radio and choose our program. Now, first and as always, Info Express is going to bring you some latest film market information and warm you up. Maybe give us some statistics, Apollo.
With pleasure, although performance not so well as last weekend, live-action animated film Fantasy Forest, produced by Walt Disney Company, still held its own. Facing the impact of the fairly adapted film The Huntsman: Winter's War, with a more than 94% tomato meter, and finally ranked first in the week's box office list with a $60.8 million first 3 days. By far, it has seat on the throne of the North America box office list, with its current global box office exceeding $520 million.
That's impressive. Maybe I shall go to watch it this weekend. On the other side, The Huntsman: Winter's War, starred by Chris Hemsworth, Charlize Theron, and Emily Blunt, was only evaluated with 17% tomato meter. But fortunately, despite its poor performance, The Huntsman's overseas box office kind of reassuring to its producers, reached more than $100 million worldwide in the first weekend.
See? I've already told you that the box office doesn't mean a lot when we are talking about whether the movie is good or not.
I suppose that you mean The Huntsman is a lousy film?
Yes, that's exactly what I mean. Although I have to confess that I really love Chris Hemsworth. Okay, think we're going to carry on about some other films. Our childhood memory, Alice in Wonderland, was taken up to the big screen again by Walt Disney Pictures this year.
Always Walt Disney, isn't it? Alice in Wonderland, Adventures in the Mirror will be presented to the audiences of Chinese mainland on May 27th. 13 years later after her last adventure in Wonderland, this time our girl Alice is returning to the Wonderland to save Mad Hatter's life.
Wow, a romantic fairy tale, I suppose. And for the last news today, I'd like to deliver you a prospect of the highly anticipated superhero movie by Marvel Studio, Captain America: Civil War. Set aside its profound quality and aesthetic value, Marvel Studio seems to be doing a better work than DC this time. I mean, in a commercial sense. So far, Civil War has received an over 75% rating in its opens, and was also highly spoken of by some harsh film critics. Interestingly, a large proportion of the praises is about Spider-Man doing an absolutely impressive job by public evaluations.
Really glad that we won't be waiting too long to see this on our own. And another Marvel comic adapted movie, X-Men: Apocalypse, is also ready to say hello to Chinese audiences. The release date of Apocalypse is tentatively scheduled on May 27th, the very same day with Alice in Wonderland.
God! May is doubtlessly going to be a festival for movie fans. Cynic, I heard the timer is ticking and we're going to say goodbye.
Please stay tuned and don't panic. A thrilling, stimulating trip is waiting for you in the next part of our program. Goodbye.
Are you tired of a long day's work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Good evening, dear audience. Glad to see you again. I'm your loyal friend, Judy.
And this is Elva. Nice to see you too.
In our last program, we talked about a sci-fi film, The Martian. Actually, today we also wanted to share with you a fiction movie, the Alien series.
Yes, but different from emotional description in The Martian, aliens are more horrible and terrifying. There is no doubt that these four films have wonderful stories and they're all fascinating.
Well, the first Alien came out in 1979, quite long ago. It talks mainly about an accident in space. On its return to Earth, the U.S. commercial starship Nostromo is diverted to a desolate planetoid after receiving a cryptic signal from a derelict alien spacecraft.
One of the eggs releases a creature that attaches itself to his face and renders him unconscious. The others break quarantine to bring him back aboard the ship. The parasite dies and the crewman wakes up, seemingly fine.Soon afterwards, an alien organism bursts from his chest and grows extremely rapid into a terrifying 8-foot, equivalent 2.5 meters tall creature that starts killing off the crew.
In 1986, David Cameron directed the second Alien film, which was a hit at that time. In that story, after 55 years in hypersleep, the sole survivor of the Nostromo, L.T. Alan Ripley,awakens aboard a medical space station orbiting Earth. Her story of the alien terror she encountered is disbelieved, and she learns that the planetoid from the first film, now designated as LV-426, is now home to a terror-forming colony.
When contact with the colony is lost, Ripley accompanies a squad of high-tech elite colonial marines aboard the spaceship Sulato to investigate.Once there, they discover the colonists have been wiped out after they have found the derelict alien ship and its deadly cargo from the first film.
Alien 3 was shown on screen in 1992 due to a fire aboard the Sulaco, and an escape pod carrying the survivors of the second film is automatically jettisoned. It crash lands on a refinery or prison planet Fiorina Fury 161, but Ripley is the only one to survive the crash.Unbeknownst to her, an alien facehugger was also aboard the ship.
Before long, a full-sized alien is then loose in prison, killing the inmates one by one. Ripley also discovers there's an alien queen growing inside her, and must not only kill the rampaging alien but also herself in order to save humanity.
Alien Resurrection appeared in 1997. It was set 200 years after the events of the previous film.Alan Ripley and the alien queen she was carrying are cloned. The alien queen is surgically removed from her body as the United Systems military hopes to breed aliens to study on the spaceship USM Auriga, using human hosts kidnapped and delivered to them by a group of mercenaries.
The aliens escape their enclosures while Ripley 8, a clone who contains some alien DNA herself,and the mercenaries attempt to escape and destroy the Auriga before it reaches its destination, Earth.
Oh, actually this film shocked me a lot. Maybe under the blood-curdling outside, they conveyed some other factors, such as religions and ethics.
As a matter of fact, the Alien series are indeed the pioneer of sci-fi film, and they have a large impact on the following ones.
Okay, that's all for today's storyboard. This is Judy and Elva.
See you next week.
Stay tuned.
Are you tired of a long day's work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time.This is Action Frames.
Clip 1. How come the company sent us a goddamn robot?
All I can think is the most wanted alien from their weapons division. He's been protecting the ride alone. Parker, will you plug it in?
I don't know why.
Carl, see me know how to kill it. Ash, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
What was the special order?
You read it. I thought it was clear.
What was it?
Bring back life form. Priority one. All other priorities rescinded.
The damn company? What about our lives, you son of a bitch?
I repeat, all other priorities are rescinded.
How do we kill it, Ash? There's gotta be a way to kill it. How? How do we do it?
You can't.
That's bullshit.
You still don't understand what you're dealing with, do you? A perfect organism. Its structural perfection is matched only by its hostility.
You admire it.
I admire its purity. A survivor, unclouded by conscience, remorse, or delusions of morality.
Look, I've heard enough of this, and I'm asking you to pull the plug.
Last word, Ripley.
What?
I can lie to you about your chances, but you have my sympathies.
Clip 2.
Ripley, I'm scared.
Me too. Stay here.
It's the MATLAB. Hudson, that's us. It's the MATLAB. We've got fire.
Get out of the way.
Just come in.
Grizz this red fuck son of a bitch right now.
It just doesn't make any goddamn sense.
He figured out he could get an alien back through quarantine if one of us was impregnated, whatever you call it, and then frozen for the trip home. Nobody would know about the inverse we're carrying, me and Newt.
Wait a minute. Now we don't know.
Yes, the only way he could do it is sabotaging certain freezers on the way home. Namely yours. And then he could jettison the bodies and make up any story he liked.
Fuck! He's dead. You are dog meat, pal. This is so nuts. I mean, listen. Listen to what you're saying. It's paranoid delusion. How? It's really sad. It's pathetic.
You know, Berg, I don't know which species is worse. You don't see them fucking each other over for a goddamn percentage.
Alright, we whisked him. No offense.
No! He gotta go back! They cut the power.
What do you mean they cut the power? How could they cut the power, man? They're animals!
I want you two to check the corridors. Move!
Grown man, watch Bird.
I got it.
Newt, stay close.
Clip 3.
Don't come any closer.
Wait, they're here to help.
Stay where you are.
Ripley.
Bishop.
I'm here to help you.
No more bullshit. I just felt move.
You know who I am.
You are Droid. Same model as Bishop. Sent by the fucking company.
No. I'm not the Bishop and Droid. I designed it. I'm very human. The company sent me here to show you a friendly face, to demonstrate how important you are to us, to me.
You just want to take it back.
We want to kill it and take you home.
Bullshit.
You're wrong. We want to help.
What did that mean?
We're going to take that out of you.
And keep it?
Can't let it alive. Everything we know will be in jeopardy.
You don't want to take it back?
Ripley, time is important. We've got a surgical bay on the rescue ship. Come with me. You still can have a life. Children. Most important, your Noah's dead. Let me help you.
What guarantee do I have? Once you've taken it out, that we'll destroy it?
You have to trust me. Please. Trust me.
No.
What's this going to achieve?
Jesus!
Ow!
Stop!
Morse, will you help me?
What do you want me to do?
It was a mistake. There was no need for any of it. Fucking Joy! I'm not a Joy! Ripley, think of all we could learn from it. It's a chance of a lifetime. You must let me have it. It's a magnificent specimen. What are you doing? No!
Clip 4.
You got a mean streak.
Oh, damn it.
Let me see.
Don't touch me.
Come on.
You must think this pretty funny.
I'm finding a lot of things funny lately, but I don't think you are.
Why do you go on living? How can you stand being what you are?
Not my choice.
At least there are parts in you that's human. I'm just... Look at me. I'm disgusting.
Why did you come here?
To kill me. Remember? Before the recall, I accessed the mainframe. Every quarter of the government ever dream of is sitting there. And this, you, the alien, even the crew from the Betty. I knew if they succeeded, it'd be the end of them.
Why do you care what happens to them?
Because I'm programmed to.
You're programmed to be an asshole? You're the new asshole matter they're putting out? Come on.
Are you tired of a long day's work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now it's time for Action English. If you are tired of all the tests and boring English lessons, this is always the place where all the things about English is fun and interesting.
That's true, and tonight we are going to talk about a classic sci-fi movie series, Alien. This movie series began its first one in 1979, and the last one, Alien 4, in 1997. Regardless of whether you have watched it or heard of it, it's truly worth a shot.
好的，由于《异形》系列一共有四部，而每部都是经典，所以今天的 Action English 将在每一部作品当中选取一段原声，挑选最地道的英语为您解读。下面就请听第一段原声。
Look, I'm not going to do any more work. We get this straightened out.
Brad 和 Parker 质问 Ripley 是否找到所要的东西，可以拿到全部的分红。Ripley 向他们保证分红是有法律保证的。这时 Brad 说出他不想干活，直到 We get this straightened out， 这是一个很有意思的短语。
为什么这么说呢？
你看啊 Apollo， 如果我们把遇到的问题比作一根直线，如果是问题很棘手，那么这根线就会绕弯路。那现在 straighten it out， 你想出这个短语的含义了吗？
掰直，
把问题掰直。你的意思是解决问题吧？没错， straighten something out 意思是解决一件很难的事，当然用在 someone 身上还有安慰安抚某人的意思。
这样那我就可以这样造句， You better straighten me up。
用是可以这么用，不过有点怪。哎，不管了，让我们看看第二部异形当中还有哪些精彩的短语和句子吧。
17 days。Hey man, I don't want to rain on your parade. We're not going to last 17 hours.
在救援的飞船中，驾驶员被异形断送了性命，来拯救 Ripley 一行人的希望也同样被断送了。这时 Ripley 询问，如果没按时回航，几时才能获得援救？在得到答案是17天之后，另一个人开始大发牢骚，我不是想扫兴，但是我们连17个小时都撑不下去。扫兴这个意思在电影中由 Rain on your parade 表现了出来。
哦，这个我在行，看过 Barbara Streisand 主演的音乐剧 Funny Girl 吗？其中的一首歌曲就叫做 Don't rain on my parade, let me think。 歌词怎么唱来着？哦，对， Don't tell me not to live, just see and putter. Life's candy and the sun's a ball of butter. Don't bring around the cloud to rain on my parade.
Wow, that's new. Never knew you've got that talent. Musical, huh?
其实吧，重要的不是我的歌声，是大家能够通过它记住这个短语。Don't rain on my parade. 不要在我游行的时候下雨，就是不要扫兴的意思。
Well, I think nobody will ever forget this phrase.
废话不多说，让我们来听听看第三步异形又有什么好句子呢？
I have to get to the ship.
You're in no condition for that.
You want to get me some clothes, or should I just go like this?
Given the nature of our indigenous population, I would suggest clothes.
Ripley 成为了唯一的生还者。醒来之后，他的主治医生告诉他，其他的人全部没能幸免。Ripley 心灰意冷，想要回到飞船之上。这时，他的主治医生断然拒绝了他，说 ：“You are in no condition for that。”你的情况还不能做这件事。
我们都知道 ，in no condition 的意思是在任何情况下，而这里的 in no condition for 则就不同了，意思上是说情况不允许，那么也就可以说是资格不够。
比如我们说 Judy is in no condition for 800 meter test. Judy 的身体情况不适合跑800米。这句话用在体育课考试的时候是不是特别带劲呢？
随便吧，我800米跑得可快了，我跑了3分30秒哦。
那你是很棒哦。
我当然很棒了，棒了可以主持 Action English。好的，下面让我们听最后一段原声，来自异形四，这次会是什么短语在等着我们呢？
Awfully cloak and dagger stuff. It's a military operation.
Elgin 在进行交易的时候明显表示这个交易显得非常的神秘和奇怪。你知道这是什么意思吗？
Well, 我只知道 cloak 代表斗篷的意思，而 dagger 是匕首，这里面一定有些典故吧。
没错， cloak and dagger is an English term sometimes used to refer to situations involving intrigue, secrecy,Espionage or mystery. 相传这个俚语可以追溯到19世纪的一个法国谚语，同样也是这个意思。一部法国戏剧中的主人公经常身穿斗篷配一把匕首，并因此由于主人公的神秘形象表达了这个短语神秘奇怪的意思。
看样子今天学了不少东西呢，我们重温一下 straighten out 解决困难问题，
ring on one's parade 使某人扫兴，
In no condition for, 没有资格，不适合。
Cloak and dagger, 神秘的，奇怪的。
Well, thank you for your company. Action English will always be with you.
你们的陪伴是我们最大的进步动力。今天的 Action English 就到这里了，接下来是 Close Up, 不要走开，精彩继续。
Are you tired of a lonely's work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
It's a god-awful small affair. To the girl with the mousy hair.
Good evening, my dear audiences. Have you enjoyed your tour of horror tonight? Well, now you're arriving at close-up. This is your old friend Daphne.
And this is Anne. I'd say I'm quite excited for today's talk, because the star we'll be discussing today has always been a role model figure for me.
That's true. The role she took in the Alien series leaves us with deep impression, and besides, the actress herself is also a strong character behind the scenes.Now, it's quite clear who's the person we'll take a close look on. Right, it's our space heroine, Sigourney Weaver.
When speaking of Sigourney, most people may only relate to her role as Ripley in the Alien series, or maybe Dr. Grace in Avatar. Well, in fact, she has taken part in many other high-quality movies like the sci-fi comedy Ghostbusters and one of Ang Lee's early work, The Ice Storm.
In fact,I find that she seems particularly fancy those roles who are strong and independent. I often see her portray the characters as women of enormous strength, and that tendency comes as a trademark whether she likes or not.
She's actually quite against being fixed to a certain type. She says that all Hollywood wants you to do, be careful when being offered the same thing again and again. Even so, she still comes with the obvious leader quality, and it's probably a result of her height. Though nowadays people may consider it's a good thing if you're tall, but it's been a concern for Sigourney when she was starting her career. Back in her school years in Yale, she was objected by the professor for her not so common height as a girl, and she can only take some minor roles in plays. In one of her interviews, she said that at first she had to paint the shoes on her bare feet to get one part.
However, a real talent can never be buried. In 1977, Sigourney made her debut as a small role in Woody Allen's film Annie Hall with only 6 seconds duration. But that 6 seconds have drawn the attention of the public and directors. 2 years later, she was given probably the most important role in her career, which gave her nominations for both a Golden Globe and an Oscar.
From then on, she's been exploring the possibilities in the action field. She's liked to challenge playing roles with strong characters and doesn't care much about the scale of the production. Actually, except the Alien series, she seldom takes Hollywood commercial movies. For an actress, her acting skills are brilliant without doubt. In fact, she's one of the elite lesbians to have nominated for both a Supporting and Lead Acting Academy Award in the same year. Another thing special about her is a deep, smooth voice. You may not notice that in the movie WALL-E, the voice of the ship's computer actually belongs to her.
She has indeed done a great job as an actress. While as an individual, she's very passionate about environmental protection and charity activities. In 2006, she drew international attention through a news conference at the start of a United Nations General Assembly policy deliberation. She outlined the widespread threat to ocean habitats posed by deep-sea trawling. To quote her in the conference, "Most people think somebody somewhere is looking out for the deep oceans, but they aren't." She's confident that the marine condition shall get better if we all take part in the protection.
Hope that more and more people can join in the protection of our environment. Just as Sigourney said, don't always assume there to be others to do the job. You can also take the action. And guess that's all for today's close-up. Have you learned more about our officer Ripley? Well, see you next Saturday. This is Anne.
And this is Stephanie. Coming up is TikTok Talk. Stay tuned.
Tired of a long day's work, watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
My friends, nice to have you here in today's TikTok Talk. This is Charles.
I'm Zinik.
And this is Elva speaking. A lovely Saturday night, isn't it?
The night itself is pretty cozy, of course, but the movies we're talking about are definitely the opposite.
Quite right. My appetite for dinner is ruined, even just think about it.
And it really inspired all kinds of nightmares. Alien is such a typical movie to cause sleep disorders. It never tries to scare you. It releases fear within. By the way, can you two tell us when and where you first got to know the alien?
Well, it was a video game I played in the age of, well, probably 12. Then I watched the second film of the series by chance. You know what? I really think we should adopt a classifying system. Can you imagine how much damage it did to an innocent child?
Yeah, and we all know that people tend to be a super asshole if they had such a miserable childhood.
Come on, that's not nice!
And what is your story?
I hardly watch science fiction, but my father does, so we admire this film after a family gathering. The result is, fabulous. And I wonder, what kind of people can create such haunting monsters? Did he have some dark childhood
Digger. The designer is believed to be the first guy to reveal the horror in science.
Science? Are you kidding? Science is pure logic. I personally see no horror in it.
The appearance of the monster is somehow a combination of flesh and machine. These biomechanical devices exist to awaken fear and darkness. They're disgusting, but awesome in another way.
Are we in a certain cult ceremony?
Well, alien is indeed an awesome species, biologically powerful, highly organized. If history ever provided anything, that is, evolution can always win.
What's wrong with your guys? In my opinion, it's never that complicated. It shows the fear that women, especially young girls, have towards sex. Can catch me? I mean the aliens themselves and facehuggers, look quite likable to the, what's the word?The generating organs. Aliens break in chest represents delivery. There's no horror but confusions about reproduction. So, it's another pornography as far as I'm concerned. Well, that another was a slip of the tongue, I forget it.
See, I was right about childhood comments.
I give you that.
So what did your childhood make you, scientist? Have you learned the subject called maybe alienology?
I did some research, if you must know. Would you mind me introducing this particular creature?
More than willing.
Yeah.
It starts from the egg which contains what we call the facehugger. Most of the time, it is in dormancy until the host is detected. It holds tight to the face of the host, makes the host in coma, then puts an embryo in the chest.
I really hate it when the baby busted the chest. It makes me sick.
Is there any chance that the host can survive?
Technically, you can make it by freezing the host and the rest is normal surgery. But the filmmaker never let it happen, otherwise they will have nothing to film in the next 1 hour.
I've noticed that these seem to be socialized. They are similar to many insects we know. They have a queen who lay eggs, drones who commit all work, warriors to defend. We're actually talking about some ant from outer space.
The difference is that aliens strengthen the next generation by absorbing DNA from the host. Therefore, aliens share some features with the host.
Hey, do you guys know StarCraft? This kind of species is called Zerg. When I was younger, during the rebellious period, I liked Zerg so much. They're so cool. But now that I grow much mature nowadays, I prefer the elegance of Protoss.
Sure. Aliens are similar to Hydralisks, don't you think? Or maybe a little feature from Zerglings as well.I mean, they're all famous for their motility and acid.
Well, I didn't expect that you should play computer games.
For mind training.
As long as you feel good, by the way. Did you play the theme games of Alien?
Isolation? My roommate was struggling in it. For me, it's too scary to enjoy.
Stories are more complete in games. They involve a greater amount of information. For example, who left the first egg of Alien?
It was explained in Prometheus, wasn't it? The space jockeys or engineers, they created certain biochemical weapon which by chance infected human, and the heroine delivered the first facehugger, or bodyhugger considering size. In the end, a crane came out from an engineer.
No, it didn't explain. It left you with more puzzles.
But we already found the links between Prometheus and the first Alien movie.The distress signal was obviously sent by the heroine of Prometheus, and the shape of the spaceship is exactly the same.
Well, we still don't know their initiative of creating Alien, and we have no idea about the Predators.
AVP series are total bullshit!
That's right.
The games are not bad, and the designs of Predators is awesome.
I don't consider Space Ants versus Space Savages a neat idea, and the second movie, I don't like it either.So many designs were ruined.
It is indeed great to conceive the alien world in 1970s. The elements in his work are definitely beyond his time. But obviously, the second film of the series has nothing to do with them. The overall style was changed. No more nasty punk, no more biomechanical structures, and the reproduction worship was also abandoned.
That's my opinion. I mentioned reproduction first.
No, you just put it into your pornography collection. We're talking about art, okay?
They share a blurred line, I must insist.
I really admire the design of the spaceship. It implies too much.
I thought it was projected in a hurry. It's not cool at all compared with Enterprise and the Millennium Falcon.
It has the shape of an Omega. I believe it has the meaning of termination.
Well, I guess so. The implications behind the ship are not so simple as you expected. The shape, in fact, is the image of female open legs. The scene in which the crew entered the ship represented the process that sperm struggled to meet ovum, thus give birth to the alien.
From this perspective, not only did Alien series open up a new stage of science fiction movie, they also offered tremendous inspirations to all aspects in art and developed its own subculture.
Okay, that's all for today's horrible TikTok talk. More information about these movies, please stay tuned. This is Charles.
This is Cynic and Alba.
Bye.
Bye.
Are you tired of a lonely's work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Good evening, my dear listeners. This is Charles on Gramophone. After a whole year of amazing music sharing, we've had glimpses of many wonderful works, and Gramophone is always glad to explore the music world with you. This time, we shall go for something real big, real epic, and real solid. Yes, you already know, the Alien Saga. Well, obviously, the whole Alien series ran along with its stunning music. Today, we're going to focus on the one that has been most appreciated. The soundtrack of the first movie Alien, composed by Jerry Goldsmith. Goldsmith is an American composer. He has often been considered one of the film music history's most innovative and influential composers. Over the course of his career, Goldsmith was nominated for 6 Grammy Awards, 5 Primetime Emmy Awards, 9 Golden Globe Awards, 4 British Academy Film Awards, and 18 Academy Awards. In 1976, he was also awarded an Academy Award for The Omen. His style has been noted for its unique instrumentation, utilizing a vast area of ethnic instruments, recorded sounds, and traditional orchestra. Here, the iconic score to the film Alien is considered one of his best, most visceral scores. In Alien, rather than focusing on themes, Goldsmith creates a bleak and dissonant soundscape that fits the film's intense atmosphere while presents the speeding monster through music. He perfectly captures the idea of a lonely crew of workers lost in the immensity of space. Let's have a listen. Goldsmith handled the film's opening with an atmosphere of a mysterious fantasy. As we heard in this first track, main title, this was his way of defining the wonders of space travel without forcing the horror elements down the audience's throats, and outlines the loneliness of space as the ship slowly rolls in from the distance. Then, the music turns foreboding and dissonant, and promptly goes back to the theme, eventually brings the track to a menacing close. We know immediately that this journey isn't going to end well. The second piece today would be Catnip. As our second victim, Brett, makes his way through the cables and rusty machinery in search of Ripley's cat, Goldsmith introduces this terrifying alien sound. Catnip is an extremely dark track, stated as Brett pushes deeper into Alien's newfound lair and is eventually killed. The music whispers at first in a foreboding way, then it gets darker and darker until the tension builds to an unbearable level. All the way through, it feels like being traced and attacked by the nagging fear for the great unknown. And there's nowhere to hide. Spooky isn't the word. Being one of the definitive highlights of Goldsmith's epic career, the score itself is above all reproach. No fan of his or the Alien series should be without this infinitely influential score. By the time it's over, I believe you will appreciate the unique privilege of having experienced the score by one of the best composers. Thank Jerry Goldsmith for bringing to the world all these wonders, and thank you all for listening. I'm afraid this is the end of Gramophone. Have a great night. Goodbye.
cast for today. Producer,
罗伊 Cynic.
Anchor,
劳逸晴 Chloe.
传播里 Charles.
Journalist,
洪静贤 Alva.
张丹西 Air.
吴希元 Apollo.
陈以慧 Daphne.
葛嘉诚 Jake.
牛一乐 Judy.
陈紫薇 Monica.
更多节目，下载荔枝 FM 收听。